Today is an exciting day. We're starting our 5-week-long human sexuality series. This is obviously a big topic in our culture. As I've been preparing my own heart for this series, I've been deeply convicted that what we're about to embark on is something that is truly holy and something that God is with us in. All of us are bombarded by images and information about our bodies and sexuality almost every day in this culture. And if there's a time in the history of the church that we need to speak out and hear from God on some of this stuff, now is truly the time. So before we dismiss the kids, one quick instruction. All kids will be leaving the service for the next 5 weeks up to the 7th grade, but 8th graders and up will be staying in the service with their Sunday school leaders. Now, parents, you all know the topics in advance, and if you feel uncomfortable with your high schoolers sticking around, we can always provide an alternative option for them. So please be in conversation with me or Patty if you continue to have questions about the series, but I truly believe that God is with us in this, and this is a very exciting 5 weeks that we have ahead of us together. So, Patty?
Go ahead. All right, so those of you who are leaving for Sunday school and our Cambodian sisters and brothers, we're going to dismiss you. And again, we're going to sing strong and beautifully. So we'll start. Actually, let's do men and women. So let's begin, and we bless you as you go. Go now in peace. Go, men first. Peace. Women, go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Go now in peace. Go now in peace.
The scripture for today is Genesis 2:7, verse 7, and also verses 18 through 25, Genesis chapter 2. So Yahweh fashioned an earth creature out of the clay of the earth and blew into its nostrils the breath of life, and the earth creature became a living being. Then Yahweh said, "It is not good for the earth creature to be alone. I will make a fitting companion for it." So from the soil, Yahweh formed all the various wild beasts and all the birds of the air and brought them to the earth creature to be named. Whatever the earth creature called each one, that became its name. The earth creature gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals. But none of them proved to be a fitting companion. So Yahweh made the earth creature fall into a deep sleep. And while it slept, God divided the earth creature in two, then closed up the flesh from its side. Yahweh then fashioned the two halves into male and female and presented them to one another. When the male realized what had happened, he exclaimed, "This time, this is the one, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now she will be woman and I will be man, because we are of one flesh. This is why people leave their parents and become bonded to one another, and the two become one flesh." Now the woman and the man were both naked, though they were not ashamed. I'd like to call up Pastor Kristen Jackson to give our teaching today. Let's pray. God, thank you for our pastor and sister Kristen Jackson. We ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say to us. Empower us through your spirit to think more critically about how we can follow you faithfully with our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love that translation that you read, Drew. I've never heard it quite that way before. It's really, really interesting. So as Drew has just said, we are beginning a 5-week series fleshing out what our sexuality has to do with being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think a number of us in this church have come to believe that the church in this whole country in general, and maybe even our congregation in particular, is often too quiet about our bodies. And so what happens is we allow all the other messages in our culture from TV and from the internet and from advertising and the radio and music and movies to shape what we think about our bodies. And the church doesn't say all that much. As far as I can remember, most of the churches that I have been a part of hardly ever talk about sex, certainly not on a Sunday morning. I actually can only really remember one time that it happened. I was 19 years old, and I went to visit my brand new boyfriend, Julian's church, for the first time. And for those of you that don't know, Julian is now my husband of 18 years. But that Sunday, someone gave a teaching on sexuality. And when he finished, he invited the congregation to get divided up into little discussion groups. And then he asked the discussion groups to share with one another about their struggles with sexuality. And because we were divided up by where we were sitting in the church, and because I was sitting with Dave and Nita, my boyfriend's parents, and they were leaders in the church, they had been asked to lead this discussion group that I was a part of. And it was awkward. I think I said as little as I could possibly get away with. I promise we won't do that today. Sex is one of the top things that I think most of us think about. It's overwhelmingly the most popular internet search. It's the main subject of our favorite TV shows and movies. It's the topic of much of our music. So it's kind of surprising that when we walk through those doors, it's like there's this switch that we flip in our brains and we pretend that sex doesn't matter very much. We do, don't we, Naida? We pretend that sex doesn't matter very much when we're in this room. For me, I think, I have to be honest, one of the reasons that I pretend that sex doesn't matter very much when I walk in this room is because I don't know how to talk about sex very well. I grew up in a house. You're totally embarrassed, aren't you? I'm sorry. I don't know how it is in your houses, but the house that I grew up in, it was very embarrassing to talk about that. And so I actually learned more from the S volume of the World Book Encyclopedia than I did from my parents or from anybody at my church or my family's friends. But more than that, it's just too risky. Some of the thoughts that I have about my body, some of the thoughts that I have about other people's bodies, some of the thoughts that I know that other people are having about me or have had about me make me feel embarrassed and ashamed. Sometimes the craving that we have for intimacy with other people, and the way that that intimacy has been fulfilled or hasn't been fulfilled is embarrassing to talk about, shameful to talk about, and it's just too risky because if we talk about it, we risk feeling naked. So when we're in the church, we have this other problem. When we're in the church, when we try to talk about sex, it's like there's this razor-edged cliff. And when you're having a conversation about sexual ethics particularly, you know, what I ought to do with my body, or maybe even more to the point, what I think you ought to be doing with your sexuality, there's this razor-edged cliff. And if you slip off on one side in your conversation, you risk being accused of not sufficiently valuing holiness. You risk being accused of not caring what the Bible has to say, maybe, about certain things. Or on the other side of the cliff, if you slip off a little bit too far on the other side, you risk sounding judgmental. You risk sounding not loving. And so in the church, we try to walk on this razor cliff and not fall off to this side and not fall off to this side. And let me tell you, it is impossible to have real conversations on that cliff. And I want for this church to be a place where we can risk having real conversations, holding hands with each other and trusting that we'll be there together when we slip. That's what I want. Because there's a lot of wisdom in this room. There's a lot of wisdom. There are people in this church who have been faithfully married and have been through the fire for decades. They have learned to trust God in their marriage in ways that we can all learn from. There are people in this room who have learned hard lessons because they've been in bad relationships, abusive relationships. They've gotten divorced, and they have hard-won wisdom that we need to learn from. God has been with them in hard and dark places, and we need to hear. There are people in this church who are gay, and they have stories and wisdom that we can learn from. God has been with them, and we need to hear what they have to say. There are people in this church who have been celibate for many years, and God has honored them and been with them in that choice, and we need to learn from their wisdom. They are God's gift to us. There are people in this church who have made mistakes in their relationships. Actually, let me just say that again. All of us have made mistakes in our relationships. I have made mistakes in my relationships, in my marriage, in other relationships. And if I am going to deepen my understanding of what it is to be a follower of Jesus in my body, I need to be able to be honest about that. I need to be able to seek the Lord with sisters and brothers who are walking that journey with me. That's what we want. Six weeks from now, we will still have a huge variety of experiences in this room. 6 weeks from now, we will still disagree about some of the ethical choices around sexuality. But I'm hoping that we can move together towards a deeper understanding of how it is that we can love what God and love one another living in these bodies. That's what we want. Boy, this topic makes me feel uncomfortable. I just need to name that. And as it's been making me feel uncomfortable, and I have to say, I was telling Drew and Patty this morning, we were praying for before the service, and actually all three of us were admitting that we were feeling a little bit uncomfortable. And nervous, and I was feeling nervous that what I have to offer is not enough. And the like 8 sermons I think I've written and erased this week. But I just want to say this. That as we prepare to talk with each other, and I hope we can do it more than just on Sunday morning, there's 3 things that have been really helpful for me to remember. The first thing is that I really believe, and I think we can all really believe, that as a community, each one of us are people who sincerely wants to love God with all our heart and mind and strength, and to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We all want that. The second thing that it's been helpful for me to remind myself is that in spite of our best efforts, we're going to fail. We're going to fall short. We're going to say some things that we realize later were dumb, bad, not helpful. But the third thing is that no matter what we say, no matter what we don't say, no matter what things we wish we'd talked about, no matter what landmines we accidentally step on or maybe step on purpose, I don't know, God is bigger than all of that. God is bigger than our questions. God is bigger than our mistakes. God is bigger than our pain. And God is with us. We want to love God, and we want to love one another. And we will fail, but no matter what, God is with us. God created our bodies so that we would have the means to live out the first 2 commandments. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. On the one hand, that's like so obvious, it's sort of not even worth saying, that we're supposed to follow those 2 commandments, and God created us to do that. We know that. It's obvious. But on the other hand, I think we are bombarded with so many messages that say things about why we have bodies and what they're for and how it is that they should be treated that we forget that. That we cannot love God with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole strength without our heart and our mind and our strength to do that. And the way that we love one another is with these bodies. It's the only way. I want to talk about Jesus. It strikes me how human Jesus was. Sometimes I think in the church we spend a lot of time arguing about or trying to make the point that Jesus really and truly is God. And so we talk a lot about how Jesus really and truly is God. And that causes us to maybe not emphasize so much how Jesus really and truly was a human being. And sometimes I think we get this idea in our head that Jesus is kind of like this spirit dressed up like a human being. Not really human. But if you read through the Gospels, it's pretty striking how human Jesus was. He went to parties. He went to wedding festivals. He sang. He hung out with his friends. He did a lot of walking and talking and teaching. He ate a lot of meals at people's houses. He drank wine. He worked with his hands in a carpentry shop. He slept. He wept. He got angry. He told funny stories. He hugged people. He was beaten. And he was killed. Jesus was fully human in every way, including as a sexual man. I think it's important that we remember that and start there, because sometimes I think we make the same mistake about our own identities as we make about how we think about Jesus, or sort of a similar mistake anyway. You know, we think about Jesus as being, you know, we sort of emphasize the God part and maybe not the human part, the spirit part and maybe not the human part. I think for us as human beings, sometimes we think about ourselves like who I really am is my thoughts, my ideas, my desires, my wants, my creativity, the things that I type into my computer, the things that I say. Who I really am is all here. And we separate out who we really are. We forget that who we really are human beings with flesh and blood and a body. We think of our bodies as something that can sometimes help us get what we want, or sometimes it can get in the way, but it's not really who we really are. But who we really are is lovers of God and lovers of people lived in bodies. And that's who Jesus really was. He was a lover of God and a lover of people. And when he lived on this earth, he was in a body. And he lived in his body in all sorts of ways. For one, eating. He ate all sorts of meals with people. The wedding feast, Peter's mother-in-law served him. Mary and Martha served him food. Zacchaeus. He made miraculous meals for huge crowds. He ate a fish breakfast on the morning of his resurrection. Who he really was lived out in the body, in his body while he was eating. In a sort of similar way, we can live out our love for God and people when we eat with them. Those of us who have had someone over for dinner and somebody we maybe didn't know very well at first, and we realized after we'd been with them over a meal that the friendship had deepened in a way that it never could have if we had not actually been sitting down and eating at the same time. We know that who we really are is lived in our bodies when we are eating together. It's not just eating, it's touch. There's two stories that are sort of twinned together in the Gospel of Mark. There are two healing stories. Jesus heals a girl and a woman. He heals Jairus' daughter. If you remember in the Gospel of Mark, a man goes to talk. Jairus goes to talk to Jesus because his 12-year-old daughter is dying, and he asks Jesus to please come and heal his daughter. So Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, and while he's on his way to Jairus' house, this woman who has been bleeding, she's got some kind of a gynecological issue or sickness, and so she's probably ashamed to even talk about what's wrong with her. But as Jesus is passing her by, she reaches out and touches him. And when she touches him, Jesus feels the power going out of him. And he turns around and he talks to her and says, "Who touched me?" And she's healed by the power of Jesus being touched, by the power of touch. And then twinned with that story, that's the sandwich in the middle of the story. And then Jesus goes on to Jairus' house, and by the time he gets to Jairus' house, because he had to stop in the middle there, by the time he gets there, Jairus' daughter, they say, is dead. And Jesus says, "Don't worry, she's asleep. I'm going to go up." And he goes up to Jairus' daughter's room, and he holds this girl's hand, and he says, "Get up." And she gets up. Jesus' touch, who he really is, his body, is how he lives out his love for God, his honoring of God, and his love and healing for these people, his making things right. It's especially striking because both of these women were unclean. The woman with the flow of blood was unclean because women were unclean in that culture whenever they were menstruating. She was unclean. It would have made somebody unclean to touch her. But Jesus touched her. Girl, same thing. She was unclean because she was dead. Dead bodies were unclean. Not sin. Being unclean is different from being sinful. She was just unclean. But Jesus touched her because who he really was what made them clean. His body, his touch made them clean. I think a lot of us have had similar experiences when we have been in a situation of being able to touch someone else and express our human connection, our love. I had an experience just a few weeks ago that was really memorable to me. You know how there was that shooting on our corner a few weeks back, and then a little bit after that we had that, there was a vigil out front here where the family of the victim and a bunch of people from the neighborhood and ceasefire all came, and they had this vigil on the corner. And at the end of the vigil, there was a pastor who was leading us all in a prayer. And he said, okay, well, when I pray, I want you to reach out and I want you to hold the hand of the person that's standing next to you. And, we were all just different neighbors from Rogers Park, so I knew a few people that were there from our church, but I didn't know most of the people there. And the guy that I happened to be standing next to was twice my size, kind of scary looking to me, and definitely not somebody that I would normally have held hands with. But the preacher said to hold hands, so I held hands with this guy as we prayed. And I felt for a moment like, this guy is my neighbor. Normally I would be scared of him, but I am holding his hand. And there was, it's hard to even describe how powerful it was to just for a moment remember our shared humanity. Because who we really are is shaped by who we touch. And it's not just eating, it's not just touch, it's sexuality too. You know, there's another story in the Gospels where, it's actually in a couple of the Gospels, but a woman comes with a jar of perfume. One commentary said it was about, in today's dollars, about $30,000 worth of perfume. $30,000 worth of perfume. 300 silver pieces, each one is representing a day's wage. So it's about a year's wage for an average worker of that time. It was in a jar, and the jar was this kind of a jar that had a long, skinny neck that had to be broken in order to get the stuff out. So once it was gone, it was gone. And the jar was typically, I've read that women would sometimes, they would be saving all their girlhood, they would be saving up a little bit of money to buy a little bit of perfume to put in the jar so that on their wedding night they would have this jar of perfume to break over her husband's feet as part of her dowry. And this is, of course, in a culture that we know because we read it in some of Paul's letters that for a woman is to be modest, she's supposed to keep her head covered at all times, unless she's with her, in her own home, with her husband. So here she is, she breaks this jar of extremely expensive perfume over Jesus' feet, and then she takes her hair that's normally covered unless she's with her husband and wipes those feet dry. Now, in the story, Judas Iscariot then criticizes the woman because she wasted so much money that she could have spent on the poor. But when I read that story, I feel like, okay, Judas, you may be saying that, but that is a classic case of missing the point deliberately. How shocking for a woman to break a jar of perfume over Jesus' feet and wash those feet with her hair. And Jesus receives that. Jesus receives that because he understands what's really going on here. He understands that this woman is using all that she has. She's living out of her whole self to bring honor to God and to express her love for Jesus, the human being who is about to die. All that she is and has in her sexuality as a woman, she's pouring out. We are bombarded with images every day that try to persuade us of who we really are. That try to persuade us that who we really are is a buyer of things, a consumer. Or who we really are is something to be consumed. Who we really are is that we want to make ourselves look a certain way so that other people will be attracted to us, will want to be with us in certain ways so that we can project certain images of ourselves. Who we really are is a costume. But Jesus, God made flesh, makes the radical claim that who we really are, all of us, are people who are living with our whole selves so that we can love God and we can love one another. And I believe that it is our role as sisters and brothers to remind each other of who we really are, because when we step outside of those doors, we're going to be told all sorts of lies. All sorts of lies that can hurt us and that can wound us, that can make us less than who we really are. Let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus. We are your people. We are human beings, flesh and blood, women and men. You made us. You know everything about us. You know who we really are. You know that we want to love you. You know that we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we ask you, God, that you would speak the truth to us about who we really are. And that as sisters and brothers, we would hold a sacred space for one another where we can remind each other of who we really are. Amen.
Thank you, Kristen. As you were preaching today, I just couldn't stop thinking that this is a sacred space this morning. I just really sense the holiness of God in this place. Let's take some time right now to reflect and to pray, if the music group wouldn't mind coming up. If you need to come, just kneel before the cross while we spend some time in silence and in reflection. Please do so. If you need to lay your junk before the cross or you just need to spend some time sitting and reflecting, let's do that now. We'll definitely have other opportunities to share from the mic over the course of the series.